laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany, your lawyer hiring, dehydrated, secretly mostly nude friend.
And I'm Kathleen, your hunters on Amazon watching. Preparing for the end of the world, every inch of skin on my body is dry, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, Kathleen, what are we talking about?
I'm talking about giving people in your life a second chance, and then also how to ask for a second chance, because both of these things are happening to me right now.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's a friend who I need to stop down and ask for a second chance with.
Who is it? What's their name?
I will tell you.
What does their name rhyme with?
We'll get into it. And also, like, there's a friend in my life who's making a concerted effort to get a second chance. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
What's on your plate this week?
We are talking about a very creepy lighthouse story.
Oh!
That is real.
Is it Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your long hair?
It is not. It does not involve long amounts of hair or a woman being held captive against her will. What it does include, however, is three men going to a lighthouse to work and disappearing and never being seen again. And to this day, people don't know what happened to them.
This sea monster obviously grew legs, climbed all those stairs all the way up.
That is actually not unlike one of the theories. It's called the Flannan Isles Lighthouse Mystery.
Ooh, I'm excited.
So we're going to talk about that.
But first. Corona.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
So.
The world is ending, Bethany.
You are the second person in my life who is pretty sure that this is going to be like the movie. What's that movie?
Contagion.
Yeah.
That movie was playing this weekend.
Oh, God. Who programmed that?
The cable people are taking advantage.
And that's what I'm concerned about is, yes, we absolutely do need to be concerned about this and, like, vigilant about washing our hands and not touching our faces. But let's just repeat, masks don't do anything.
No, of course not.
And the masks, don't buy masks because they need to be there for, like, medical professionals who actually need them.
Mm-hmm.
Masks really don't do anything except keep you from touching your face, which you shouldn't be touching your face anyway.
And apparently, I conferred with a veterinary doctor this weekend, and she told me that I can't DIY a mask that's worth any value.
Oh, no.
Because apparently medical masks have some sort of, I don't know if this is true or not. I didn't confirm it on Google. Apparently medical masks have something in them that actually truly filters out virus particles from reaching your face.
Okay.
So I was all ready to, like, cut up a t-shirt and, like, tie it behind my head and go out into public, you know, but apparently that doesn't work.
So we were talking because my boyfriend bought himself basically like a doomsday prepper kit.
And rightfully so. Everyone should be prepared.
Everyone should be prepared in general for a disaster, mm-hmm. right? They say you should have a kit ready in case anything happens. And one of the things they say to keep is photocopies of your documents and some cash in a Ziploc bag. So in case water is involved, it will keep all of your documents safe and money safe.
Mm-hmm.
What I am concerned about is that everyone assumes that this is going to turn into something that's going to kill us all.
Yeah.
When really I think that it is, like, we all should be aware, but we should all also not panic. Where do you stand on this, Kathleen?
I stand in, I'm real pissed that a lot of my travel plans have now a wrench in them because I, like, was supposed to go to Greece this year and Switzerland, and all of that is sort of on pause because I'm afraid I'm going to spend all this money on tickets and hotels and stuff and not be able to get it back.
Sure.
But also, I went out to the supermarket this weekend and did a big shop. Like, I want to be able to make food and meals in my house and not have to, like, expose myself to other people at the supermarket. Like, I stocked up. And you should be stocking up too, Bethany.
I don't think it's a bad idea to stock up. Dennis bought an emergency kit in case he gets it and is quarantined inside his house.
That, he's very smart.
Is that smarter? Is that being a little bit over the top. And I don't know the answer. I'm not like, I'm not judging him for it. I just am like, am I not taking this seriously enough?
I think you should be taking it pretty seriously because it's better to err on the side of caution. Things like toilet paper and toweling paper and medicine like Motrin or Tylenol or flu medicine, like you should have extras of these in your house. Worst case scenario is that it expires and you throw it away and like you wasted $11.
Yeah.
But if you don't have it and you do truly need it, you're effed.
He bought a kit that includes a high decibel whistle.
That is smart.
And,
it's smart.
And tea.
And tea, exactly.
Why do you need tea?
You need tea in case you get coronavirus.
What is tea going to help with coronavirus?
It's going to hydrate you, Bethany.
But then water will hydrate you.
No, tea hydrates better. Everybody knows that.
No, I never heard that in my life.
So the New York Times actually put out a really interesting article today. So they're saying that all you have to do is to not get sick. You don't need a mask or whatever. Basically, wash your hands all the time. Be very, very, very vigilant. Make sure you're carrying around hand sanitizer with you.
Yeah.
And also, stop touching your damn face. So, journalist Tara Parker Pope, the title of the article is Stop Touching Your Face. It's a quirk. Humans touch our face, right? We like touch our eyes and our nose and our mouths all day long. Like today, I've been very conscious of how many times I'm touching my face.
I touch my face all the time.
All the time.
I pick my lips.
Yes.
I set my mouth on my hand.
Yes.
Like my open mouth on my hand when I'm working on my computer.
We were on the train and I was talking to you about like some of my dental issues.
Yeah.
And then I put my finger in my damn mouth and pulled down my lip to show you my gum.
And earlier on my way here, I dug a piece of something out from between my teeth with my fingernails and thumb and forefinger. Just like I was digging.
The eyes and the nose and the mouth are all entry portals for the coronavirus and many other germs. And it's sort of interesting. Only humans and a few different primates, gorillas, orangutans, chimpanzees, are the only animals that touch their face with little to no awareness out of habit. Oh. Most other animals touch their face only to groom or swat away pests.
Yeah, Loki only touches his face when he's, wiping food off of his face, which is very seldom because he always has food on his face, so he just doesn't touch it very much.
It's a hard habit to break, but if you wear makeup, that may reduce you your chances of touching your face because you don't want to smudge it, right?
Yeah, good point. People who don't wear mascara, I see them rubbing their eyes all the time.
Another solution, if you have things like itchy eyes or dry skin before you leave your house in the morning.
Yeah.
Eye drops, moisturizer, like try and take care of that stuff ahead of time. It also may help, and this is good for me. This New York Times article is saying that glasses are a great barrier to keep you from touching your eyes.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Gloves or mittens can also make you more mindful of not touching your face, but then if you touch something that's contaminated with your mittens, then your mittens are contaminated.
Yeah, and it's harder to wash those.
I do have like latex gloves. I think I'm going to start walking around wearing those.
Okay. Just remember to take them off. My thing is like, how much is that helping versus causing more people to panic?
I don't know. I think that you're right.
Because I think it is harder to then wash those latex gloves. And are you going to remember to take them off and get a new pair, blah, 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 blah.
So this is
why I'm not taking it seriously.
This is why I don't think you are. This is why hand hygiene and face touching makes a meaningful difference in terms of like how quickly a pandemic spreads. Consider a virus. An infected person rides an elevator. Okay. They're touching the buttons both outside and inside the elevator.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're sneezing during the ride.
Gross.
And when that person leaves, microscopic droplets containing the virus stay behind. So the next person who presses the same button or touches the surface that a virus is on, it's now on their hands, and they touch their eyes or touch their mouth or touch their nose.
They dig something out from between their teeth aggressively.
Now they have it. So if you have gloves on, it's sort of a reminder to like, when you walk in the door, take your gloves off, wash your hands, new pair of gloves.
And you're probably more aware that you're about to touch your face if a foreign object like a glove is the thing touching you.
I just touched my face.
You did. You just dug something off your lip.
I have an itch. I have an itch. How am I supposed to do this?
We're so screwed.
We're totally screwed.
I don't know, man. Can I tell you why I'm almost secretly naked?
Okay.
I haven't done laundry in probably a month of Sundays.
Okay.
And I am
got
now
a lot of underwear, my friend.
No, I don't.
Are you going commando?
I am,
in
and here's
jeans?
Why. No, I,
that's this, dangerous.
No, we don't judge me. We are not in. We're not there yet.
That's
we're
sensitive at, tissue.
No, we're at bodysuit. We're in the phase of the bodysuit. Okay. So I'm taking all of the bodysuits I never wear, and now I am wearing them because those are serving as underwear and shirt at the same time.
Okay.
Two for one.
Yes.
Win-win. However, this is a bodysuit I almost never wear because it is, quote-unquote, high-legged, which for your average body type is just a nice, subtle high leg.
Yeah, it makes your leg look longer when you're wearing only that bodysuit.
For Bethany,
yeah.
who is 5'10", with most of that torso,
yeah.
it is... Kathleen, where does this high leg go? Hold on, ready?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Bethany, this high leg comes out of your pants and all the way up to, I want to say, like, the top of your rib cage, like, just under your boob.
If I were to wear a bra, you would see my bra strap from the high leg.
You've got two crescent moons coming up the side. So you can't take your jacket off, even though it's hot in here.
It's so hot in here.
You'll be nakey.
And I'm sitting down. So because it's when I stand up, it's maybe okay. It still looks like it's like a festival look more than anything. But if I'm sitting down, you are seeing every sort of square inch of everything happening on my stomach because of the high leg that is not high enough for my torso.
Is your bikini line shaved right now?
I got laser hair removal.
I hope it
so
is.
It's always taken care of.
I did one of these like de-hair my whole body things this weekend.
Yeah.
You know when you have to do that, you look in the mirror and you're like, God damn it. When did I become Tarzan?
Yeah, I'm like a disgusting human being. But like, you know, it's fine.
And
body hair is good.
I start yelling at my husband, why didn't you tell me my nose hairs were so long? He's like, I don't know. I'm not looking at your nose.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, you are. You look at my face all the time.
It happens so slowly, you don't even notice it.
Can I get laser hair removal in my nose?
I bet you could.
It's like a thing that all the women in my family have.
Is long nose hairs?
It's like long nose hairs. It's like the way that my nose is shaped, you can basically see all the way through my nostrils up until my brain. I'm not hiding anything.
I don't think your nose, I've never once noticed nose hairs on you.
I always have a bat in the cave, always.
I was listening to a podcast and they work in the entertainment industry and one of them is like on a show and I don't remember the podcast or the person, otherwise I'd give them credit. And she was talking about how she was filming and she got a note from someone up in a booth and they came down and they basically gently mentioned that her nose hairs were really long because everything is in super, super HD now that her colleagues are like getting their nose hairs waxed and zapped and everything because you can see everywhere.
I need to look into getting that removed. I also have a mustache. I have a moustache.
Moustache?
I have to shave. Like, how do you take it? Did you get laser hair removal on your upper lip?
I don't really have a mustache.
I hate you.
No, but I don't know. It's just one of the, I don't have that, but I have many other problems. Mm. Do you want me to list my problems?
Yeah, I would love to hear them.
Okay. I am a sweaty human, just in general. I am gross. My torso is too long for high-legged bodysuits.
Your torso, I would kill for your torso.
So I could fit another torso in my torso.
You should have been a swimmer, or maybe you should take that up. Is there such a thing as geriatric Olympics?
Fuck you, I'm not geriatric, go to hell.
I'm sorry, I didn't
Suck
mean it.
It.
I didn't mean it like that, I just meant later in life.
Geriatric Olympics. Like
90? You know, you could start practicing now and then really get into it in your 60s.
Yeah, right. Nice save.
I'm sorry. If you're thinking about going on spring break or summer vacation is on the way, Bethany and I are here to tell you about this amazing service that I didn't even know it existed. It's called Undercover Tourist.
Yeah, especially if you have like groups of people and you are going to theme parks. You can get the exact same tickets to theme parks that you know and love for less.
Yeah, who doesn't like saving money?
You can save up to $145 on each theme park ticket. Think of the savings for a family of like four or six.
And Undercover Tourist can sell you tickets to theme parks at a significantly lower price because they are an authorized seller.
Yeah.
They have 20 years of quality service experience providing theme park and attraction tickets at a discounted price. And they have an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau. And we're talking hassle-free. So you can get email or physical tickets, skip the lines at the gate and go straight to the rides. And you pay what you see. No hidden fees, taxes included where applicable, and you get 90-day ticket returns where applicable as well.
It's awesome.
Undercover Tourist is the trusted name for theme park tickets.
Start planning your next theme park vacation now by visiting undercovertourist.com/taste.
That's an additional discount using T-A-S-T-E on top of big savings already offered through Undercover Tourist.
Again, that's undercovertourist.com/taste.
Bethany.
Kathleen.
Have you ever had to give someone a second chance?
Gosh, is it awful that I can't remember?
Yeah.
I think that I have, but I haven't given it to them.
Yeah. I think second chances, sometimes it's confusing because you ask yourself the question, like, do I want to do this again?
Yes.
When is it time to give one? And when is it time to ask for one?
Yes.
You have to really bring yourself down and be very humble to ask another human being for a second chance.
Oh, yeah. It involves getting rid of your ego completely.
And you have to admit your faults. And, you know, sometimes you have to ask yourself for a second chance too, right?
Yeah.
So there are two situations in my life right now where I've granted a second chance.
Okay.
And then also one where I need to ask for a second chance. And,
okay.
And both of these people are close friends.
And what are their names again?
I'm not going to tell you.
What are their
names? I'm not going to tell you.
Does one rhyme with Tethany?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which one am I?
If you can't figure that out,
whoa,
we have a problem.
Oh, man, I'm a bad friend.
So I've heard people say that if you keep your expectations low in life, you'll never be disappointed in others.
Yeah, that's super pessimistic.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that. In myself, I realize that sometimes I hold expectations of myself extremely high, and that often leads to failure, and, you know, then I can't execute everything in my life perfectly or in a timely manner. But I think you need to separate the idea of expectations and failure. Like, they're two different things.
Yeah.
So personally, if you're asking yourself for a second chance, like giving yourself some leeway and cutting yourself some slack within the scope of your life is different than the idea that you need to adjust your expectation level. Because, like, why not shoot for the stars even though it's going to take you a few attempts?
Absolutely. And I also think that if you are someone who's like, I'll just keep my expectations low with people or myself, then you let yourself get walked all over.
Yeah.
And you're willing to accept people who treat you like garbage.
And then also, I think friendships that really could thrive and be super meaningful and important in your life, they never get that chance to grow.
Yeah.
Because you don't hold that person to any sort of standard.
Yeah, you should have high standards for yourself and the people that you surround yourself with.
So I have this friend in my group, and she's trying really hard to get back into our good graces. And for a long time, she wouldn't show up to parties, or she would offer up really lame excuses.
Yeah.
When she wouldn't show up to hangouts and stuff like that. A couple of times she failed to show up to really important events like bridal showers.
Oh, wow.
And baby showers and birthday parties. And once she even canceled her own freaking birthday party. Like, after everyone had already blocked out their calendar to hang out with her, she also once shit-talked me in an email and accidentally sent it to me. Lols.
What?
But I'm not one to hold a grudge.
Okay, but sometimes you should. What did she say about you in that email?
No, it was just like, it was so long ago, it was stupid.
And no, you still remember it. What was it?
I don't know, it's because I don't like sports ball.
Wait.
It's because I don't like sports
ball. She was talking crap about you because you don't like sports ball?
Yeah, it's just whatever. It is what it is.
What?
As of more recent, she's come clean to sort of like our friend group about some of the mental health things that she's dealing with.
Okay.
And many of us suspected that mental health was a major factor in her flaking all along.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point I even said to her, like, listen, I know something's going on with you. I want to be here for you. I want to be there for you. But if you never show up to anything, how is anyone ever going to have a conversation with you and be there for you?
Right. Right. Right.
Like, if you don't tell anyone what's going on.
Yeah, so you have to be honest about it.
Ultimately, I think this friend saw that she was in major danger of losing basically everybody when our most placid friend, like, you know, you have that friend that never really chimes in on anything.
Yes.
And she goes with the flow.
Yes.
She wrote like a very stern and heartfelt letter to this friend about being burned one too many times. So finally, this friend stopped down and she asked for forgiveness.
From the placid friend or from all of you?
From everybody.
Whoa.
And it was the most, like, refreshing thing in my 30s. I mean, it shows a certain level of maturity. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people would be able to do this in their 20s.
Yeah.
And she started showing up again slowly, right? Like, is she a picture perfect friend? No way. Is sure. anyone a picture perfect friend?
No.
No way. People are not perfect. And ultimately, sometimes you do need to put your own well-being first, like before
yeah, of course.
Like, stretching yourself too thin and hanging out with people. But now she's really trying, and she's like sharing her experiences in therapy with us, and she's like showing up to dinner invites, and she's making
wow.
an effort. And I thought, wow, like, this person truly does enrich my life. I really do enjoy her company. And what a loss it would have been had not everybody in my group given her a second chance.
Does it change the way that you view all of the flakiness when you know what was behind it?
Yes, of course, to yeah. a certain extent.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, because we were calling her out on it and she was denying it. And obviously she probably was coming to terms with what she was dealing with in her own head.
Sure.
But it's just so nice to know that you don't have to be perfect all the time.
Yeah. And that people around you who love you are going to help you and give you a second chance, probably.
Have you ever given a friend a second chance? I know I asked you in this in the beginning.
Yeah,
you've had some time to think about it.
I don't know. In immediate memory, I cannot think of a friend who has asked for a second chance.
Yeah.
I know that I have given friends second and third and fourth chances before deciding that the friendship had to end.
Mm-hmm.
But that was sort of like they didn't really know that was happening. I was more seeing a pattern of behavior and I was like, okay, is this going to continue? And so I would give three or four more times to like hang out with him and see if that. So that was more evidence gathering,
yeah.
I guess.
It wasn't like a formal, can I have a second chance? It was sort
no.
of like you checking off chances in your head.
Yeah, which yeah. probably isn't the same thing. I think that, no, I've never had anyone ask me for a second chance
yeah.
that I can remember.
Yeah. I had a friend a couple years ago who had really burned me, really, really burned me. And when she like tried to contact me again, I said, this bridge is severed.
Yeah.
Like, this bridge has burned.
Yeah.
And I wish you the best, but
yeah.
like I'm moving on.
Good for you.
And
did she respond?
She didn't, but she blocked me on everything.
Oh, that's mature.
So I came up sort of with like a list of times when I think you shouldn't give someone a second chance.
Oh, okay.
When that person is all words and no action.
Yes.
So like maybe they're telling you that they've changed and maybe not enough time has actually passed for this person to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a sign that you should not grant that person a second chance.
Totally. Yeah, agreed.
When that person repeats past behavior or aggression patterns, peace.
So these first two, like you have to sort of say, okay, let's try this again.
Yeah.
And then they show you that they're
and then they're not.
They're not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's clear that the person is only reaching out to you because they've burned all of their other bridges and you might be the one sucker who gives them a second, third, fourth, fifth, et cetera. Chance.
Oh, those people are the worst. Yeah, I agree with that.
Uh-huh. When that person has purposely harmed you in a physical manner.
Like hit you.
Hit you.
I fully agree with that.
Now, I think that there's a little bit of gray matter if this person physically harmed you when they were in the depths of addiction.
Sure, like they were drunk and they...
Sometimes I think that there's a little give and take there
yeah.
and not like an absolute do not give that person a second chance. But for the most part, I think if they physically put their hands on you,
yeah.
no second chances.
I agree with that. And I think even if it's like, okay, they got drunk and while they were in the midst of alcoholism, they hit you or whatever, and then they get sober and the agreement is... you will never drink around me again.
Yeah.
I still think that I would not be able to give a second chance to that.
I know.
Because there is something in you that is willing to hit.
Yeah.
Like, even in my drunkest moments, I have never hit a person. Because it just isn't something that's in me.
Yeah.
I will slap you if I get excited, but that is like, I am so excited, I'm going to hit your shoulder. But I have never, like, punched or throttled or pushed. It's just not in me.
Yeah.
And so I think that even when sober, I would always worry that that is in the back of that person's mind.
Yeah. And this sort of pairs up exactly what you just said, Bethany, with this next one. You should not give someone a second chance when that person has threatened you on such an egregious level that there is no turning back.
Agreed.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill your family.
Yep.
I'm going to kill your children.
Yep.
Peace out.
Yeah.
Also, this is something I think probably a lot of people can relate to. You should not give someone, particularly a romantic partner, a second chance just because you think you'll never meet another romantic partner.
Kathleen, yes. Or I am so fuck yes, Kathleen. This needs to be said. Say that again.
You should not give someone a second chance just because you're afraid that you'll never meet another romantic partner.
This is so important, and I am so glad you said that.
Yeah.
It is such, I think, an epidemic.
And a lot of times people accept people back into their lives even though they've been burned out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never find another best friend like mm-hmm. you. I'll never find another girlfriend or boyfriend like you.
I have a kid. No one will want to date me because I have a child.
Also, this pairs up with this next one. You're feeling nostalgic for the old days and you're lonely.
Oh, God. Okay, can I give a tip for this?
Of course.
I have a tip. When you are getting rid of a friend or a partner, make a list in your phone. Go into the handy dandy notes app and make a list of all the things you don't like about them.
Mm-hmm.
And all the mean things or awful things they've done to you. And so then when you are feeling lonely, pull it out and read that list.
Yeah.
Because your list doesn't get drunk, even though you do.
Yep.
And your list remembers.
And you forget. You forget. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a great list. We should post that list.
Thank you. I will. I'll put it on our website because we're launching very soon.
Ooh, things are happening, friends.
I'm actually about to press that launch button just in any minute now.
Which state are you launching it in, New Jersey or New York?
I am launching in New Jersey.
We have had so many behind-the-scenes conversations about where certain things happen in the midst of our podcast. Does this happen in New York or New Jersey? Where does it all happen?
Oh, taxes. I love the federal government.
We now have an accountant and a lawyer. Y'all can't mess with us.
So when I think about granting someone a second chance, I think, and this is a conversation I did have with my friend, you need to make it very clear why you felt burned in the first place. And it's sort of the same thing as when you have a fight with your significant other.
Yeah.
Everybody sees a situation through a certain lens.
Yeah.
And a lot of times there's miscommunication. But if this person is like being humble and stopping down and asking to rejoin your life again, you have to make it so, so, so clear why you got rid of them in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's so smart.
And life sometimes is so complicated and messy now with text messages and emails and Instagram DMs and Facebook messages. We're communicating with a single person in so many different forums.
Mm-hmm.
That a face-to-face conversation, I fully believe, whether it's FaceTime or you see that person in the same room, is essential.
I totally agree. I have a question.
Yeah.
So two questions.
Yeah.
When you're sort of the last friend standing,
yeah.
who is like the placid friend, when they reached out and said they'd had it, what medium did they use?
Email.
An email. Was it to all of you?
No, it was just to the
just
one.
Just to the one friend.
The one friend.
And then when your friend approached you guys and said, hey, can I come back? How did they do that?
It was in a text message and then we all got dinner.
So is it like a group message?
Like a group message,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm always curious how these conversations happen.
How does it work? Yeah.
Like, how do you do it?
And I imagine she had to be so brave. Like, it was hard to hit send on that.
Yeah.
And to admit fault, right?
Yeah.
That you can't really see if someone is genuine or not until you look them in the eye.
Yeah. I agree with that.
How many times have you said something over text message that got misconstrued completely
mm-hmm.
because just they put their own like tone on it?
Completely. I will often have people read something back to me if it's a text or an email that I am offended by or hurt by. And like, I'll have my therapist read things.
Oh, that's smart.
Without my giving her any heads up about what it's about. And
yeah.
I'll say, what does that strike you as?
Mm-hmm.
And then she normally says, they sound fine. And I'm like, damn it, I thought they were mad at me.
Damn
like
it.
Having an external party who really isn't like emotionally wrapped up in all of it is very helpful.
And also something to say about giving somebody a second chance is anger that you're harboring,
mm-hmm.
a weight can be lifted off your shoulders,
mm-hmm.
right?
As long as you are able to express it to them in a way that isn't hurtful but constructive, I feel like if you don't express how much they hurt you, you will hold on to that anger and you'll still be resentful.
Yeah, no, you're correct about that.
But you're right. Yes, there's so much of like
harboring, harboring emotions like that.
Yeah.
It can weigh on you over time. And, you know, that friend and this friend, it adds up.
It does. And they probably aren't bothered by it at all in a lot of the situations. And you're the one who's just stewing in your own anger.
So let's flip the situation.
Okay.
I need to ask a friend for a second chance.
Okay.
And I haven't committed any terrible friendship crimes.
You didn't sleep with their partner.
No, 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 no.
You didn't hit them.
But I have found myself distancing myself from someone who really needs love and support right now.
Okay.
And I feel like I need to come clean as to why I haven't been in contact with her and ask for a second chance to be there for her in her life during this trying time.
Are you willing to say why you've been distancing yourself? You don't have to.
No, I've been distancing myself because this person is going through a really tough time, and I am afraid that no matter what I say to her, it's not going to get through to her. And so instead of even trying, I just sort of checked out like a few months ago. Yeah. And I was hanging out with her this weekend, and I was like, I love this person. I love hanging out with her, and I don't want to feel like listening to her problems is a chore.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So mentally, I know my friend isn't doing well. Romantically, I know my friend isn't doing well. I also feel like she probably feels like life is leaving her in the dust. And in the past, when I have offered up advice, I feel like it was in one ear and out the other, which is why I've checked out.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make me a good friend.
No. Okay. Can I ask a couple of follow-up questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to like derail
you. Yeah.
Is this friend in a different place now where she is more able to hear advice?
I don't know, because I haven't been in touch with her.
Fair.
Yeah.
When you hung out with this friend over the weekend,
yeah,
were they asking for advice?
No.
Okay.
No.
So maybe they don't want it.
Maybe.
So maybe you won't have to give it.
Maybe. You know when somebody is in a bad place in their life and they're sometimes like a little bit of a Debbie Downer?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what's happening with this friend right now. And instead of showing her compassion and understanding and like pulling up a chair and saying, hey, I'm here to listen to you, I distance myself.
Yeah.
And so that is why I feel like I need to be like, hey, I have not been a great friend, and like I'm here for you now.
It's tough in those situations because it's usually one of two things I have found.
Yeah.
They either are going through a hard time and you back away, or they are somebody who is always going through a hard time because there's someone who low-key likes to be a victim.
Oh, you know, I understand what you're saying.
And that's an important thing for you, not like specifically you, Kathleen, but like the you friend, to figure out which one they are.
Yeah.
Because I would say absolutely go back to the first. But the second isn't a friendship that's going to serve you because it's exhausting.
Yeah, no, you're correct. You're right about that.
But I think it sounds like you know which kind this friend is, and she's the former.
She's the type of friend that I want to keep around for a very long time.
Yeah.
I'm also a little bit afraid that if I offer up any advice, she's not going to want to hear it, and it's going to cause a major rift between us. And so instead of being there for her and like trying to help her, I just was like, peace.
Yeah.
It's tough. I've gotten into fights with someone, one of my very best friends. I offered up tough love. She didn't want to hear it. And I said, this is tough love and you're not going to want to hear it. There was like a tiff for a while, like a couple of weeks where we were going through a tough time emotionally together and not talking as much as we used to. And like, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to avoid that at all costs now. But is there really healing if you don't like address certain things with certain people?
There either isn't a healing or just the friendship gets a little bit shallower.
Yeah.
I think there are definitely some friends, there used to be in my life. There was one specifically that I just stopped being around because I knew that they would ask for advice, I would give it, they wouldn't listen, and I would get frustrated.
Yeah.
Because the next time we hung out, their problem had not changed and they still wanted advice. So they can still be a totally delightful person to hang out with, but it just means that I am not going to have more meaningful conversations with that person because I know that it's not going to serve me.
That's the type of friend that you go hang out with at like a bar or very loud party.
Yes.
And you're just like, ha, and you're drinking and you're laughing and you're joking and you're talking about like what you watched on TV that week or whatever.
Yeah. And she's like, how is everything? And I'm like, fine. How are you? Everything's falling apart. And I'm like, I know, everything's great, right? Because it's so loud. It's tough. It's really, really tough. But if you ultimately love this person, then yeah.
Have you ever had to ask anyone for a second chance?
Gosh, I've had to absolutely apologize and say that I messed up.
Really?
Oh, for sure. I know it's happened. I'm trying to think of specifics, but I know the feeling of laying down your ego and basically spreading yourself prostrate in front of the person is a familiar feeling.
It's not great.
I know
great.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember when. I know, like, even in the first year of the relationship that I'm in, we had plenty of misunderstandings where I had to say, I really messed up.
Yeah.
And there was one specific time where I really messed up in the relationship. And he felt used and not seen and angry and hurt. And I had to take a step back and go, I profoundly screwed this up.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really, really, really sorry.
I think there's probably no harder thing to do than that in
life. It sucks. I also feel like on a certain level, there's some relief.
Yeah.
Because all pretense is dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to try to fake anything. You don't have to try to come up with a creative defense for what you were thinking or twist their words and remember all the lies. You just are like, no, I've totally ruined this.
Yeah, I ruined it. It's my fault.
It's my fault.
And then hopefully that person will show you some mercy, right?
Yeah.
So I put this question out on our Facebook fan group. Second chances. When was one time you asked for one, or when was one time you granted one, and did you regret it in the end? Robin wrote, about 7 years ago, we broke up because of distance and lack of enthusiasm on my significant other's part.
Oh, man. I have a lack of enthusiasm.
He was unemployed and lethargic, and it all kind of related to one another. But a year later, we found each other. We were different people, so we decided to try long distance again. And now we're married, and I don't regret it for a second.
Wow, that's great.
That's interesting.
Sounds like someone had to do a little growing up.
Jill wrote, I recently reached out to an ex-friend to clear the air and ask for a healthier relationship. I didn't/don't want to restore the friendship, but we will be around each other from time to time for the rest of our lives, and I wanted to get to a space where we weren't both overcompensating for how uncomfortable we were in those times.
Ooh, yeah, that's smart.
So I'm very happy with how our conversation went. I think we both felt heard about what hurt us in the past, and hopefully in the future, things can now begin to become neutral again. I think having handled it in a way where I didn't put pressure on it to be something more than what it is will set us up for success.
I think there is something so beautiful in coming to an understanding when you know that the outcome will not be getting back together.
Yeah.
Whether it's friendship or you know, romantic, whatever. Just saying, you are important enough to me and in the role you've played in my life that I want to know what the story is.
Yeah.
Even if you and I don't continue down this road together, you deserve to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I deserve to be heard as well. Actually, if a former friend said that to me,
yeah,
I would feel like I was walking on air.
Yes, it would be super refreshing.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, you care enough about me, even if we're not friends anymore. You care enough about me as a human.
To reach out.
To reach out and try to understand where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, I do too.
I love that.
This comes from Krista. She writes, this might sound silly to some people, but I gave myself a second chance.
Ooh, I love this. Keep going.
Not silly. She writes, I grew up in abuse, stifling the creative, overly empathetic, gentle spirit that I am. And I continued into a 14-year abusive marriage where I unknowingly shared my rare genetic disorder with my children. It was never discovered in me as a kid because I was neglected. And I was told to get over whatever strange illnesses/injuries were going on with me. So I have 3 kids now. They all have it. And when I finally found a safe way to leave my husband, I spent years of my single motherhood accepting that my life was just a tragic one and that I would never be loved or happy outside of my relationship with my kids. Well, 2 years ago, I decided that I needed a second chance from me.
Wow.
Exclamation point. My story wasn't over, and it can be a happy one. We moved across the country. I sought trauma therapy and started doing things to help me get reacquainted with the songs of my soul. My circumstances have not changed, but I am happy.
There is something so amazing about really getting in touch with who you are and what you like and what makes you unique. And this can happen when, let's say, you leave a job.
Yeah.
And if your identity is wrapped up in that job, you discover who you are outside of the job or a relationship. And in this situation, she never really got to be creative and figure out who she was.
She never got to be herself.
And now she's figuring that out. That's exciting.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. When it comes to giving yourself second chances, every single second of every single minute of every single hour of every single day is an opportunity for you to start over again.
That's very, very wise, Kathleen.
Ultimately, I think forgiveness of others and forgiveness of yourself. In the bottom of my soul, I believe that it's a fundamental principle of surviving this life. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And maybe if you're the type of person that holds a grudge, it's time to find a softer way of being.
Yeah, you're only hurting yourself.
I'm looking at you, Bethany.
Why? What did I do?
You hold a grudge. I know you hold a grudge.
Of course I hold a grudge.
Yeah, maybe it's time to like, meh. Be meh on the grudges as long as you keep yourself safe.
Okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I hold a grudge. I say I remember what someone did so I don't let them do it again.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm not actively sitting here angry at somebody who wronged me.
Mm-hmm.
But if they try to come back in, I'm not going to not remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm going to keep myself a little safer.
Yeah.
There is.
I understand that. I rescind my very harsh judgment of you.
It's okay.
And now I'm going to judge myself. I'm the type of person that gives too many second chances. So maybe it's time, if you're like me, to be more firm with people who take you for granted.
Yeah.
And tell them why you are not going to let them take you for granted anymore.
Yeah, you deserve better.
Okay, let's finish up with this quote from the late, great Maya Angelou. I did then what I knew how to do. And now that I know better, I do better.
That's one of the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
I love that quote. Thank you, Kathleen. Okay, Kathleen, working out is hard, and it has always been hard. And even when it is easy, it is still pretty hard.
Yep.
And Bombas socks can't change that, but they can make it more comfortable.
So if your New Year's resolution, it's March, it's not too late to start,
right,
is to get fit this year, start by getting yourself a pair of socks that can keep up with every step of the way.
The thing I love about Bombas is that they have this arch support. It is so comfortable.
And they're really low-cut ankle socks, which are the ones that I love. They never slip down my foot. I have a hard time wearing other socks now because Bombas are my favorite.
Look, you do a lot of different things to stay active. So Bombas makes a lot of different performance socks. They're designed for everything from running to hiking to cycling and more.
So whether you're into sports or planning on getting very into sports, Bombas can help with performance socks in styles made especially for basketball, tennis, running, golf, and more.
They're made with a lightweight poly cotton blend, which means no matter how hard you're working, your feet will stay cool, dry, and comfortable. Plus, constantly pausing on your treadmill to adjust twisted, bunched up socks is enough to make anyone get ready to quit. So that's why Bombas are designed with left-right contouring and a Y-stitched heel so they will stay perfectly in place.
Ever notice that annoying toe seam that socks have? That little ridge on the top? Well, Bombas got rid of it. Gone, donezo. Bye. It's just smooth sailing all the way across the top of your foot.
And also, did you know that socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters? Well, Bombas socks were created to change that. So for every pair that you buy, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need.
So go to bombas.com/taste today and get 20% off of your first purchase.
That's bombas.com/taste for 20% off.
bombas.com/taste.
We are heading into a new season, Kathleen, so people are often trying to freshen up their closet, get rid of the old, and in with the new.
Yes, I feel like I always want something a little new at the top of my month.
But we've been talking about how we're trying to shop secondhand and be more sustainable with our clothing because fashion is the second most wasteful industry. And so that's why we are freshening up our closets with ThredUp.
ThredUp is the world's largest online thrift store with up to 90% off of estimated retail value.
You get the insane deals that you get when you thrift at a store, but it's the convenience of online shopping.
Yeah.
And they have brands like Nike for only $6, Theory starting at $20, Lululemon for $27, and more. I have gotten so many things from ThredUp. I've gotten shirts. I got that Ralph Lauren ball gown.
Yes.
On ThredUp secondhand. It was still new with the tags.
And I've gotten designers on ThredUp that I never would have been able to afford in real life. Like one of my most coveted items are my Loeffler Randall sandals.
You love those.
And I always say that they have very cool Alexander McQueen pieces.
They do. Sustainable, stylish, and totally affordable. You will look and feel even better in 2020 with ThredUp.
And today, you can save an extra 30% off of your first order at ThredUp.com/taste.
That's ThredUp.com/taste for 30% off your first order. Terms apply.
So, in full disclosure, Bethany and I just took a bathroom break.
Yeah.
And I was trying so hard not to interrupt your bathroom break. You went first.
Oh, yeah. I slipped out.
And there's like three stalls, but like in case you were doing number two.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't do that.
I didn't want to walk in on you.
No. Oh, you're very kind.
And I was like here, like crossing my legs and pressing them together. Like,
oh,
Bethany, let her go. Let her go. Let her go by herself.
You're so sweet. And then I was in there answering text messages because I am not good at focusing.
Well, someone was so quiet in the bathroom here at Audio Boom Studios like a few weeks ago. I accidentally went number two, sitting right next to them.
And you didn't know they were there.
Yeah, because they were so quiet. They probably were trying to be quiet to do their own biz.
And then how did you finally know what happened?
Because when I was washing my hands, I heard them in there. Because you know when someone starts wrapping up?
Yeah. Yes.
And like they're washing their hands and then you can finally like get back to your business.
You
can stop squeezing your sphincter.
Yeah. 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 You know it's safe because they're about to leave and you can time it with the opening and closing of a door.
Bathroom tales.
Yeah. All right, Kathleen.
Yes.
Let's talk about the disappearance of the Flannan Isle lighthouse keepers.
Whoa.
Okay.
Wait, you just blew my mind. Say that again. The Flannan Isle?
The Flannan Isle lighthouse keepers.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a true story. This happened in 1900.
Either it's a true story or a porno.
It's a true story.
All the guys have dongs.
Big, big.
In condoms that.
Scottish dongs.
Are decorated like lighthouses.
A little light around it that just goes in a circle.
Uh-huh.
So, Flannan Isle, the lighthouse, sits on Eileen Moor, which is one of the Flannan Isles in the Outer Hebrides off the west coast of mainland Scotland. Okay, so off the coast of mainland Scotland.
Okay.
Okay. The only residents of Flannan Isle were sheep. There wasn't any way of communicating. Think of this crazy remote place. It's hard to get to. You don't see land when you're out there. There's no communication. There's no phones. There's no telegraphs. There's no radio. There is nothing. The only way that you are able to get messages out to anybody is because there is a dude who is paid £8 a year to sit on another island and keep an eye on your lighthouse in case you SOS. That's the only way you can get messages out.
So no text messages.
No.
No Seamless.
Nope. Nothing.
No pizza delivery. Just nothing. SOS, and then they'll come and save your life.
Yes.
But other than that, you're shit out of luck.
And it's going to take a while because you have to sail there. This is 1900.
It actually sounds kind of nice to be alone like that.
You would think. I often think that I want to just end up being a lighthouse keeper one day, but it is tough work, and most lighthouses are now automated, so they don't really need lighthouse keepers. But working at a lighthouse was awful.
I imagine you eat a lot of canned soup.
A lot of canned soup. So here's my sources for this story. So there is a YouTube video, which I will link in the show notes. Their Wikipedia page, obviously. The podcast Astonishing Legends does a really good two-part series on it. The podcast Bedtime Stories and the podcast The What If Podcast. And the podcast Astonishing Legends said that being a lighthouse keeper is a great job if you like crushing solitude and routine.
I think that like kind of really describes you, Bethany.
No, I think it's kind of my dream job. Locals viewed the island more with some superstition. Mm-hmm. They would ferry their sheep over to graze on the island, but it was considered bad luck to spend the night there. And so the lighthouse was built between 1895 and 1899.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1971, the lighthouse became automated. But okay. We are concerned with what happened in December of 1900, just 1 year after the lighthouse was officially opened.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
So people ferried their sheep out there to graze on the land.
Mm-hmm.
But is Scotland that hard pressed for land for sheep to graze on that they had to bring their sheep on a boat out to a remote island?
I mean, I think they probably lived on other
okay.
parts of the Flannan Isles.
Gotcha.
Like they would live there and then come over.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So here's the deal with lighthouses.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be manned 24 hours a day because they were basically giant oil lamps at this point.
Oh.
So three men worked in shifts, and there was a hard and fast rule that one man had to be inside the lighthouse at any given time. So if there's work to be done outside during the day, which there always is, yeah. because there's like the wick has to be trimmed on the lamp, you have to fill it with oil, you have to clean, you have to cook, you have to sort of do all of the things, groundskeeping, plus all of this.
It's like a giant candle.
It's a giant candle. Yep, it's a giant candle.
I never thought about that before.
Yep.
Lighthouses are just a giant-ass Glade candle.
Yeah, at that time, totally. So even during the night, someone had to be awake, keeping an eye on this candle to make sure it stays lit. So typical shifts were 3 or 4 hours, and then you would go back to bed, and the next person would come up. And three men were manning the lighthouse at this point
okay.
that we're talking about.
Yeah. What's the date again?
Everything starts December 15th, which is my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh. 1900.
Okay.
Okay. So the three men working at the lighthouse right now, James Ducat, Thomas Marshall and Donald MacArthur.
Oh, all Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they were hot.
These three men ended up disappearing and were never seen again. So here's what happened. On December 15th, a steamer ship called the Arctur passed and noted that the lighthouse light wasn't on. It just wasn't on. When they docked 3 days later, they reported this to the Northern Lighthouse Board. And then 2 days later, on December 20th, a relief vessel called the Hesperus was supposed to sail to Flannan Isle, but it was bad weather. The weather over here is awful. There is nothing to break the ocean from hitting you with whatever is being created over the ocean, right?
And so if you're in a like a water vessel, there's no way to land or dock safely on an island like this.
Yes, exactly. So they didn't reach the island until December 26th. So now officially the lighthouse had not been operational for at least 11 days.
Wow.
So whatever happened, happened 11 days ago.
I mean, 11 days, that's a long time.
It's a long time. So when the relief ship docked, they discovered no one was there. There wasn't any signal flag on the flagpole. Supplies hadn't been put out to be restocked. And none of the lighthouse keepers were there to greet the ship and welcome them ashore, which was custom. You would go, at least one person would go out and be like, hey, guys, welcome back.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Come ashore.
Come ashore. This was really abnormal. And so the captain of the Hesperus blasted a horn, sent up a flare, trying to get any reaction from the three men who were supposedly working at the lighthouse, and there was nothing.
It's like when you walk into the house and you don't see any of your family members, and you're like, Mom!
It's like, hello?
Where are you?
Mom!
Are you in the basement?
Mom!
Are you in the backyard?
Mom!
I'm hungry!
Mom! Mom! Lois. Okay, so there was a man on the ship, the Hesperus. His name was Joseph Moore. He was supposed to be one of the guys coming in to cycle one of the other men out, right? So you, it's like you work, let's say, 6 weeks out, and then you leave and you get like 2 weeks off.
Gotcha.
So it's never really the same three people always working together until it like rotates back to that. Mm-hmm. So he had hitched a ride. He was on the way. So he was sent alone to go up to the island and investigate what was going on and why no one had come.
Crazy.
So he heads up to the east landing,
yeah,
and he discovers that both the entrance gate and the main door were both closed. The men's beds were made, so it seemed like the men had just woken up and gone about their daily life. Lamps had been cleaned. Everything seemed normal. But he also noticed that the clock had stopped, which meant that no one had been around to wind it for some time. And as they did more searching, another man joined him. They started looking around. They found that one of the set of waterproof coats and boots that they wear, they're called oilskin garments, one was still there hanging.
Mm.
Now, this is the middle of December on an island.
You can't go out without it.
It's freaking cold.
Yeah.
So two of the missing men had their stuff, but one went out in like t-shirt and long underwear. Then they go to the west landing. So the east landing is great.
Yeah.
They go to the west landing. Hot freaking mess on the west landing. So there was a box that was 110 feet above sea level. It had been decimated. There had been supplies in it that were gone. They also had a supply railway that they had built on this island because it's steep, so it's easier to like have a little choo-choo train bring your stuff up to the lighthouse.
Yeah.
So the supply railway had been pulled up from the concrete.
What?
Iron railings were bent. Some were completely missing. And a rock that was over 1 ton heavy had been moved. Plus, turf that was on a cliff that was over 200 feet above sea level had been ripped away.
It's a Sasquatch.
So then,
it was a giant. Did giants exist back then?
Do giants exist now? All right. So then the men find the lighthouse keeper's log. So typically you would enter something in the log 3 times a day. Morning. Hey, everything's going great. And it was professional. It wasn't like a journal. It wasn't like I'm really mad at Kathleen right now. It was like, you know, we primed the oil and like, you know, whatever. The weather's great. So they found that the last log was 9 a.m. on December 15th. So whatever happened to these three dudes happened sometime in the afternoon on December 15th.
When that first ship was passing by and noticed that the lamp was off.
There's nothing going on. Okay, so then this poor guy, Moore, has to stay on the island with three other men to get the lighthouse back up and running while the Hesperus returned back home and sort of told everybody what was going on. Can you imagine being this poor guy?
No.
you realize that all of the people who worked here are gone, and now you have to just keep the lighthouse going, not knowing, is there a murderer running around?
Mm-mm.
Is there some sort of crazed lunatic? Or did everyone get some sort of disease?
Mm-mm.
Is there a ghost?
Mm-mm.
Are there spirits?
No way.
So the captain of the Hesperus sent a telegram to an organization which still exists called the Northern Lighthouse Board.
It still exists?
It does.
Interesting.
And he said, quote, "A dreadful accident has happened at the Flannans. Three keepers, Ducat, Marshall, and the occasional," which is like the one who is the lowest level on this hierarchy.
Yeah.
And it's the person who like comes in and helps.
Does the bitch work?
Yes. Have disappeared from the island. The clocks were stopped and other signs indicated that the accident must have happened about a week ago. Poor fellows, they must have been blown over the cliffs or drowned trying to secure a crane. So, a man named Muir Wood was the superintendent of the Northern Lighthouse Board. He was brought in, and he decided that the official cause of death was that the men were surprised by a giant rogue wave. But in order for the wave to hit up by the cliff where the turf had been ripped off, it would have to be at least 10 stories high. And at that point, the highest wave on record never came that high.
Wow.
So, if it was a massive rogue wave, it would have to have been the biggest fluke wave ever recorded at that time, and that all three men were conveniently standing together as that wave hit. But the hard and fast rule in lighthouse keeping is that one person must be inside at all times, even if two people are out, because you got to keep the lighthouse running.
Yeah, you got to keep that wick burning.
Yeah, so why would somebody have left? It's super not, it's like so against the rules.
It doesn't make any sense.
So another strange thing is that Moore, the man who was asked to stay on the island and get the lighthouse back up and running, he was also asked to write up a report about what he found. This is really strange because he was a grunt worker. This is like I don't know a ton about police.
Yeah.
But I would say that it would be like the FBI asking the chief of police to write up a report and then also ask a beat cop to write up a report about the same incident.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
There's an order of power.
So clearly people are like, something is amiss and we don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So these men, their bodies, evidence were never found.
Stop.
So this story has been told a lot because it happened so long ago. There are some fake pieces of information that were added later to make it more exciting.
Yeah.
So someone said that there was a half-eaten meal that was discovered. Someone said there was a chair that was found overturned. And there are also fake logbook entries that people say were written like, so-and-so is crying, God is over all, worst storm we've ever seen. That never happened.
Yeah.
It was just added to make it more exciting. But here are some of the theories as to what happened to these three missing lighthouse keepers.
Where did they go?
Where did they go?
This is my greatest fear in life. This is why I wear a Fitbit tracker.
It's disappearing and never being found again.
So someone could like find my body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have those back in 1900. So here's one of the theories. So MacArthur, who was the lowest level in rank.
Yeah.
He also was known to have a really bad temper.
Mm.
And
A
drinking problem. But when it comes to lighthouses, you're not allowed to have alcohol. That's one of the rules. No alcohol in the lighthouse or on your person.
What's the point of working a lighthouse if you can't have alcohol?
You can't have alcohol.
See, that would have been like my number one must have with me at all times.
But then you're too drunk to keep the wick burning.
No, I understand that.
So picture yourself as MacArthur. Mm-hmm. You're the lowest level employee. You can't have any alcohol here, so you're probably really tense.
Grumpy.
No booze.
Mm-hmm.
You're with two people for 6 weeks. You probably don't like them very much.
Nope.
All of a sudden, you might be really tense, especially if you have a really bad temper.
Yeah.
So there's an author named Keith McCloskey. He has the theory that they got into a fight. MacArthur, like the two guys go down. MacArthur is left inside per the rules. The two guys go down and MacArthur's like stewing about something and he's letting it get to him and he's just like riling himself up.
Fuck these motherfuckers. When they come back, I'm going to fuck them up.
Yeah. So he leaves. Hence the doors being closed.
Mm-hmm.
He goes down. He picks a fight. And that something happened. Maybe the third guy got in the middle to try to calm him down. And they all went over the cliff. This cliff is high and it's creepy. Like, this author, Keith McCloskey, he's been there and he did not like going to the edge of that cliff because it is such a huge drop.
I can only go to the edge of something very high when I crawl on my belly.
Yes. Yeah.
Less chance of being knocked over by the wind.
Have you seen the video of that woman on a rock somewhere overlooking some giant gorge and she's like scooching herself down this spherical rock to try and pose for an Instagram photo?
Stop it. So many people die every year. Oh, it's a thing.
I wanted to punch her in the face.
It's a thing. And I was sort of like swimming in these tide pools in Hawaii a couple years ago where I climbed down the side of a mountain. You're really not supposed to be there, but it's like, whatever, YOLO, And I got knocked over by a wave, and it was not a big one. It was a small wave. It hurt so badly. Ugh. This was a small wave. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be swept over jagged rocks in a big wave.
Dead.
Like, you're dead.
You hope you die instantly.
Immediately.
You hope you die instantly. One of the murder thoughts, if it was like a double murder and then a suicide, they didn't find any blood. Yes, rain could have washed the blood away, but like they never found bodies. And so even if they had been killed and then fallen into the ocean, I don't know. Usually things will sweep back in. You know, someone will find a foot.
Yeah. Or isn't it like the gravitational pull and the way that the waves work that eventually things like come back into?
I think things come back. I don't know much about this.
Are there great whites off the coast of Scotland?
Don't know. I don't think a shark wants to eat something that's already dead. Do they?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
They want the blood. And if the blood is like leaking, I don't know.
If there's a taste bud out there who's a shark, let us know.
a shark specialist. All right. Another theory. A huge wind. Now, the winds over here are crazy strong, and they are strong enough to like pick up a man and move him. Mm-hmm. But the wind at that time was recorded going west, which wouldn't have blown the men out to sea. It would have pushed them back
into
the
land.
Yeah. Now, another theory.
Maybe someone did a big fart. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're gonna keep going. Mm-hmm. All right. Another theory. This whole area was surrounded with myths and rumors of ancient sacrifice, bad vibes.
Oh.
Some people believe that some bad spirits or some awful things just happened and took them.
Now we're talking.
I know.
This is where the meat and the potatoes are.
I know. Another theory.
Yeah.
Sea monster.
That was my first instinct.
Mm-hmm. I know. Another theory. They all turned into birds. So I believe it was Muirwood when he came ashore. He saw three, I think, crows sitting there. And it's like, we lost three men, but here are three crows.
Ominous.
Maybe they turned into birds.
I can see it happening.
I can't. Another theory, they were kidnapped by foreign spies. Another theory.
So what is Scotland hiding?
I don't know. They all escaped to start new lives.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
That would be my second guess.
Another theory.
Yeah.
Aliens.
Yep. Duh.
Is one of the theories.
I believe in aliens.
Yeah. But ultimately, the Northern Lighthouse Board concluded that the three men were surprised by a freak wave and swept away. Now, two of the men had probably gone to secure equipment. This is pretty commonly thought, with one man staying back per the rules. Mm-hmm. He would have been able to see a large wave coming and then rushed outside to warn his colleagues, and then all three were swept away. But here's the problem.
Yeah.
It explains why he left behind his protective clothing. It explains why all three men were outside. It was a panic. He was going to get them.
Yeah, you run out, you don't grab your jacket.
Right.
Yeah.
What it doesn't explain is why the doors were closed, because he closed both the lighthouse door and the gate.
And the gate, yeah.
It doesn't explain why all three experienced men were surprised by this weather or why their bodies were never swept back to shore. And if one man inside saw his buddies washed away, it would have taken him something like 15 minutes to work his way down to where they had been. So it's not likely he would have also been washed away.
Oh, I see.
And if he didn't see it, let's say one friend gets washed away, another one has to pick his way up, run to the lighthouse, tell someone, and then they head back out. It's going to take a really long time. So it's not likely that they were all together washed away by one giant rogue wave.
This is really, it's so strange.
So no one knows where these men went or what happened.
You know, if I had three passes to find out mysteries of the universe, this might be one of the passes that I use to figure it out.
Fascinating.
What do you think it was? Sasquatch?
I think that there was a fight.
Yeah.
I think there was a fight.
I see that.
And I think that the fight ended up all of them falling, but I don't know why they wouldn't have washed back up.
I think that maybe one of them lost their minds,
mm-hmm.
like went cuckoo.
Yeah.
Woohoo. And the other two were trying to get a handle of the situation. They were fighting.
Yeah.
They were all outside.
Yeah.
And maybe like the one that went whoo-hoo threw the other two off the cliff and then jumped himself.
That's what this author thinks too.
And then there was a big storm.
Yeah.
And all the bodies were like, bye-bye.
Bye, we're washed away. I think that's probably the most likely. So the reason I thought of the story is because I saw the movie The Lighthouse over the weekend.
Isn't that a book too?
Probably.
It's on my list. I think it's in my Audible app to listen to and not read because I don't read anymore.
So it stars Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe.
Ooh, one of and my favorites, Robert Pattinson.
They're fantastic. And it's so good. So it's not about this, but there are some reminiscing moments that are similar to the story.
You know, I've seen that movie come up on my Amazon movies as
you
like,
should watch it.
You might like it. So now I will.
You should watch it. Prepare yourself. It is a slow moving film, but it's awesome. So, it's by the guy who did The Witch.
Ah.
So it's really, really good.
Get some popcorn.
Yes.
Like pour yourself a drink and like sit down for the long haul.
Totally. But they did make a film about this called The Vanishing back in 2018. It stars Gerard Butler. It has something like 3 stars.
Oh, well,
I'll probably watch it tonight.
Yeah, Gerard Butler. I see that 3 stars. He's like, he's cool.
Yeah. But if you're somebody who likes these really creepy, real life unexplained stories, definitely check out The Flannan Isle Lighthouse Keepers. It is very creepy and very awesome, and I love the story.
Can you spell Flannan for me?
Yeah, Flannan.
I really would like to go to Scotland.
Yeah, well, and this is a place you can take a trip to.
It's on my list, Scotland. I'm Scottish. Are you Scottish?
Not even a bit.
Yeah, really?
Well, I mean, you know, everyone was intermingling, but I'm mostly Norwegian. So, I mean, I'm all Norwegian from what I know, but who knows? I refuse to do 23andMe because I don't want the government to have my DNA.
The government already has your DNA.
They're going to make a clone. No, they don't have my DNA. The government doesn't have my DNA.
Wait, can I tell you what part of Scotland I'm from? It's like got a really funny name.
What?
I'm from Cockbridge, Scotland.
Cockbridge, you say?
No, actually, I'm from Twat, Scotland. Actually, I'm from the butt of Lewis.
All right. What list are you looking at?
Actually, I'm from Dull, Scotland. I'm from Ecclefon. I'm from Goatfell. I'm from Backside Lane.
Did you Google funny Scottish names?
I'm from Castle Milk.
You just learned how to use Google, didn't you? It's like when my nieces got Alexa and they started asking Alexi to just make body noises.
I'm from Go Fuck Yourself,
okay,
Scotland.
All right. So many people have a day job and then they have their side hustle.
Amen for side hustles.
And if your side hustle is selling stuff from home, going out and getting your orders out can be a huge pain.
Yeah. How do you know what to keep track of and which carrier should you use? And are you getting the best rates? It's all so confusing.
That's why you need ShipStation.com. They help you get orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy.
No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface. And they work with all of the major carriers like USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment.
No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You're going to ship more in less time with the best rates available.
And right now, Acquired Taste listeners can try ShipStation for free for 60 days when you use our offer code TASTE.
There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card info.
Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TASTE, T-A-S-T-E.
That's ShipStation.com, and then enter the offer code TASTE.
ShipStation.com. Make ship happen. Ah, I'm so excited about something, Bethany. I need to share it with you.
Tell me.
The first body positive children's book just came out.
Really?
Yes, this is what the world needs. This is from Glamour.com. So there are these two bloggers in Atlanta. Their names are Addie Meskey and Katie Crenshaw. They figured out that there were children's books about all sorts of genres, but nothing that addressed body positivity.
That is surprising.
So both women on social media, they focus on body positivity online, plus their moms. So the combination of those two things fueled their idea for a book called Her Body Can. And it comes out this week. You can order it on Amazon, and it'll be on shelves in major retailers pretty soon.
You can also ask your local small bookseller to stock it.
Or the library.
Or the library.
The book is geared towards children ages 8 and under. So,
that's great.
Do you know reports say that by the time girls are 13, 53% of girls express dissatisfaction with their bodies, and up to 50% of girls in grades K through 8 are concerned about their weight?
I asked my mom to put me on a diet in kindergarten.
Yeah. I first started knowing that I was like a bigger child in kindergarten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It happens right away. And even if your child doesn't have a weight issue, please let your child know that other children's bodies are not for them to talk about.
Yeah.
I first became aware of me not being skinny by a girl in my swim class who told me that she wouldn't talk to me because she doesn't talk to fat girls.
Are you kidding me?
I was probably five.
That's awful.
So, yeah, teach your children to not be assholes.
You know, and this kind of stuff, it sticks with you forever.
I'm in therapy to this day. And every therapist I've ever seen, that's where we start.
You know, I was one of those kids who, if someone else that wasn't like my mom bought me an outfit, it was always going to be too small because people never realized how big I was.
Yes.
And so I think I put on like an outfit that my godmother had purchased for me or something like that. And it was probably too small. And then I went out to play in the with the neighborhood kids, and I was in second grade. And an older boy said to me, "Your clothes are too small for you."
And I bet he doesn't even remember saying it. I bet he doesn't remember, and he has no idea.
You know, I almost confronted him at a wedding a few years ago, but
you should have. I love a wedding confrontation, Kathleen. Were you drunk?
No, I wasn't.
Better
it wasn't
if you're drunk.
Worth it. It wasn't worth
Kathleen, it. A wedding confrontation is always worth it. I don't care if you have to make something up to confront someone about. You had better do it, and you had better do it with a sloshing wine glass in your hand.
In high heels.
You take one of those heels off and you throw it.
And I kick him in the head, and it goes through his temple, and he's dead, and I'm in jail. And then it backfires.
It got real dark. By the way, Kathleen and I hired a lawyer today for our podcast.
We did.
And one of the things we said to him is, can we call you if we end up in jail? And he said yes.
I was expecting him to say no. Like, no, that's not the type of law we do.
Yeah, but he said yes.
He got very excited.
He got excited, and then he intimated that this wasn't the first time he's been asked to do such things. Mm. And that's how I know we have the right kind of lawyer.
And I don't want to disappoint him. It looked like maybe that would be a bright spot in his day if he had to, you know, pick us up from jail.
This is why I like it, because our previous lawyer was not growing the way we wanted them to grow.
Yeah.
So I like that our new lawyer is ready for our hijinks. I tested him because I said, will you bail us out of jail because we do intend on stealing the Declaration of Independence?
Yes.
And he didn't even bat an eye. He said yes.
Yeah. Not even an eye. Yeah. And this new lawyer also knows what a podcast is.
Yes! We do have to explain to our accountant every time we see him what a podcast is. Like, bless his heart.
Do your grandparents know what a podcast is?
No.
No, like,
our accountant doesn't either.
I still have friends that don't know what a podcast is.
I love it because he asks every time, and he believes us when we tell him that it's okay. He doesn't need to understand, but we are a legitimate business.
Our accountant. He's like, when do you guys broadcast? Like, well,
when does it go live?
Well,
it's not.
He's like, when are you on the radio? Well, never.
We're not.
We're never on the radio.
Where does it broadcast? No, it doesn't, friend.
I've got news for you in the year 2020.
What?
Bucket hats are back.
Is it because Friends was playing on Netflix for so long?
Yeah, Cosmo is saying that something went from 0 to 100 real fast with bucket hats. And apparently, so it's February. It's March now, but we just got past February, which is like fashion week all over the world.
Yeah.
Europe, America, whatever. There were bucket hats everywhere. Everywhere. Influencers, fashion editors, celebrities. They wore them in New York, London, Milan, and Paris.
I do see them a lot on the street. Lots of people wearing bucket hats.
I could see you wearing a bucket hat.
I look awful. My only skill is that I'm good. I look good in every hat.
Except
a bucket hat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I do not look good in a bucket hat.
They're excellent for shielding the sun.
Is that what they're good for?
Mm-hmm. Like, if I have a daughter, one of the first things I'm going to teach her is buy yourself a pair of big sunglasses.
Yes.
Wear sunscreen every day.
Yes.
And also wear a hat to protect your face from the sun.
Absolutely. A hat. I feel like it should be more dramatic than a bucket hat. Is a bucket hat essentially the same as just a fishing hat where you keep your lures?
It sure is. It sure is.
I would prefer to wear just an oversized, dramatic, wide-brimmed hat that comes down over my eyes so dudes can't look at my face when I'm walking down the street and yell at me.
Something custom-made at a haberdashery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Gorin Brothers.
Mm,
I have a punch card for that haberdashery.
Stop. Is that a real thing?
Gorin Brothers haberdashery punch card?
Yeah.
I'll show it right now.
How many hats are you buying? They need a punch card. It's not a cup of coffee.
Here's the problem.
Hats are expensive, too, especially custom hats like that.
Especially at Gorin Brothers.
What are you, a millionaire?
No. Here's the thing. I used to I used to have a couple glasses of wine and then go shopping. Mm. I don't do it as much anymore. Mm. Where's my Gorham Brothers punch card? We are stopping down this podcast. Here it is.
That's a shame. Some of my best purchases have happened when I'm a little tipsy.
Buy 10 hats and get the 11th free. 11th Gorham hat free. Look at that.
You already have 5 hats.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Correct. But one of those hats I bought for my mother. Mm. So I have 4 hats.
I guess you have a pass.
One of them is a pork pie. That was a misinformed purchase.
Have you been following some of this drama going on with Hillary Duff and Disney Plus?
No. Tell me everything.
I have a bone to pick with Disney Plus.
What's happening?
I take back all the nice things I said about the real live action Lion King or whatever.
It's still not live action. It's computer animated.
Lizzie McGuire was going to get a reboot.
Yeah.
Lizzie in her 30s.
Yeah. Is that what it was called?
Oh, no. That's my working title.
The kids love a show called Lizzie in Her 30s.
And so Disney Plus was supposed to do it, and they just put the kibosh.
Yeah.
There we go. On it, because the show creators and Hillary Duff both wanted it to address real issues that women in their 30s deal with.
For sure.
And Disney Plus wanted to keep it PG.
You know what? Good for Hillary Duff.
Yeah, so they're trying to move it to Hulu.
Good.
Right?
I wonder how they're going to do that. Disney owns the rights, don't you think?
I don't know. So have you ever seen the movie Love, Simon?
No.
It's fabulous, and it's about this boy who comes out to his friends and his family, and mm-hmm. he's in high school. It is such a good, heartfelt movie, and so they're doing a TV show version called Love, Victor.
Oh, great.
And Love, Victor was also supposed to be on Disney Plus, and Disney Plus was like, nah. Too much gay stuff.
Disney? What the hell? Disney has been on the forefront of gay rights for a long time, I thought.
Very disappointed. So anyway.
They used to have like days at their theme parks where it was like,
LGBTQ
gay day.
Yeah. So Hulu picked up Love, Victor. So I'm hoping that Hulu picks up Lizzie McGuire.
That's, wow. Good for them for like standing for what, good for like Lizzie McGuire, not for Disney, for standing for what they believe in. Disney, what the hell?
F you, Disney Plus.
Yeah, well, it's too expensive anyway.
That's why
it's
use my friend's login. I don't pay for it myself.
By the way, thank you for your cable login. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned.
Uh-huh.
I learned that the medical name for a butt crack is intergluteal cleft.
What made you?
I don't know. I'm on the Googs doing my thing.
Yeah.
Intergluteal cleft.
I wonder if doctors actually say that to each other, or if they just say, you know, the BC.
What kind of doctor checks out your butt? Like, if you have something.
Proctologist.
Proctologist. Mm-hmm. But even women, too? No.
Yeah, women have butts too.
I mean, okay. Oh, yeah, I'm confused. Yeah. I'm not.
Are you thinking prostate?
Yeah. Okay. So proctologist.
Yeah.
So you think at the proctologist conference, they're all like, you'll never believe what I saw in this intergluteal cleft.
I think if they're being official, they have to. Mm. But if they're at the bar happy hour, like after the day is done, mm-hmm. and they're figuring out who they're going to hook up with, mm-hmm. they're like, I saw an ass crack.
Saw an ass
and
crack.
And there was... You'll never believe what I found in mm-hmm. the ass crack. Mm-hmm. There was a map.
There was a map.
Of mainland China.
You know how people get mud butt?
What's
the... You know, it's like when there's like poo and sweat inside your butt cheeks.
Why are you not cleaning yourself up?
Do you think sometimes at the proctologist conference, they're like, it was a muddy intergluteal cleft.
That is awful. Why are you not cleaning yourself?
I don't suffer from it, but I know that guys, the only dudes. People, dudes, they suffer from it.
Why are you, dudes?
Bethany, what'd you learn
this
week?
Get yourself some wipes. I learned that you need to not be quite so precious about certain things, mm. whether it is work you are doing, allow that work to be edited, or if it is fingernails you are trying to grow out. You know what? I was trying to grow my fingernails. It wasn't happening. I needed to just own up to it and trim them.
Yeah.
And they are growing back stronger than ever.
Oh.
It is not the end of the world, friend, if you have to change what you had your heart set on, be it big things or small.
I love that. Dreams change.
Dreams change and allow them to change, friend.
So do your fingernails.
Did you just hear me kick the entire control board up with my knee?
I sure did.
Don't
I sure
Rachel
did.
Rachel, I did that. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter. If you know anyone at Twitter who can help me change that handle without losing my verification, that'd be great. Mm. On Instagram, I am Ms. Bethany Watson. Where can people find our podcast, Kathleen?
Oh, you can find our podcast at acquiredtastepodcast.com. You can send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can send us a snail mail, a piece of it. P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it be on the Apple Podcast app or on iTunes or on Spotify, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks and get more credit for some of this work that we're doing.
Totally. You can also follow us on social media on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, check out our fan group. There's some amazing people in there.
We are also on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
We also have a voicemail. So if you want to leave us a message, you can call us at 917-994-0353.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Also, this is your weekly reminder to wash your hands.
Yeah, wash those hands.
Don't touch your face.
Where have you been putting your hands? Filthy. Mm-hmm. Wash those things.
And you've been putting your hands in a bucket of Corona.
Come on.
And not the beer.
The virus.
Taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, guys. This is Shirley. I am in Arkansas, and I just clocked out of lunch, and I'm running to vote. Today is a day, and I'm one of those people who still believe it's important to vote, so hopefully you guys are too, and you're doing it wherever you guys are. I love you guys, love the show, and I'm so glad I got to call in.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany and Facebook. So I thought I'd just leave you guys with a funny story. I live in a house that is owned by my friends, and they left their furniture behind, so they're getting a pod sent out here. And the guy that came over to give a quote to let them know how much it would be to pack up all their furniture came over, and it was like right after work. I had no time to clean. We go into the bedroom, and I look at my nightstand, and there's like a suction cup dildo sticking straight up, and I was mortified, and I just stood there frozen. I'm sure this guy saw it.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. It's Caitlin. I just finished listening to the Musical Montage podcast episode, and I was waiting the entire podcast because I thought Lizzo would be playing it, and I was like, I can count on you two for playing Lizzo, and sure enough, you both started playing Lizzo, and I'm sitting here knitting, so I literally put down my knitting needles and danced a little bit in my bed. Thanks for that.
Hi, ladies. I'm so excited. I've never left a voicemail. I'm Jerry. It's been a week. I had all the credit card fraud. My cat scratched me, but I still love him. But I finished my entire to-do list for the week, and it's Tuesday, so things are looking up.
Hey, this is Jessica in Illinois, and I had to call to tell you, ladies, what I took my 10-year-old son to do this weekend. Well, I took him to get the dreaded perm. I can't believe that he wants a perm. He was the sixth boy in his fifth grade class to get a perm. Can you believe that? I mean, where are we, like the 80s? Oh, and one of the little boys that has perm hair has a mullet. Yes, you heard me. 10-year-old little boys are getting their hair permed, and I am a mother who allowed it.
Hey, Facebook. This is Ace. First time ever calling. Loved you guys since day one. I just felt the urge to call in, say that things are going amazingly well. My job is better than ever. I've gotten raised. I'm making more than I ever have. I have my own place. Life has been good. And I'm even back to acting, which I have a lead role in a show that's only 2 weeks away. No pressure at all. I'm fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's all fine. I just wanted to say that I love you all, especially in the Facebook group. You guys keep me going. Shout out to all my guys who also listen. We're still out here. We're here. We just, you know, we got to take a seat back sometime because, you know, some of the things, we don't understand it, but we're here for it. Either way, love you all. And no matter what, remember, don't forget to take a deep breath.